This morning I want to talk about the message of the title is Return to Me. But I believe that I want us to really have ears to hear this morning what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. In these seasons that we're in right now, in all that we've been learning, whether it be through the live groups, through the messages, and through the prophetic word, I believe the one thing that God is doing in our midst is bringing us back to alignment. And the message is, return to me. You know, oftentimes we look at what's happening around the world, maybe just the worldly things or disappointing things that may be happening within the church world as well. And when we look at all of that, what is the emphasis that we need right now? We can argue about many things. We need more accountability. We need more of this, and we need more of that, and we need more of this. And my emphasis this morning is a word that says, return to me. So I've got 3 points here on the screen, okay? And I'm going to go straight to the first one. The first point that I have is God's cry through the prophets. When we look at the scriptures as a whole, I'm just going to pick out a few of those verses. What is God's cry to his people in scriptures? Before I go into the scriptures, I think of the story of Adam and Eve. When they sin, what did they do? Did they run to God? No, they ran away from God. They tried to cover themselves with their own, or with fig leaves, which represents their own effort, their own self. And but God wanted them, but God was chasing after them. And what was God really wanting them to do is to trust in him. He was the one who would provide them with a coat of skin as a covering, as they realized they were naked. But God is just chasing after them for them to return back to him, the heartbeat right there of God. And so when you look at the scriptures in the Old Testament, especially the prophets and many warnings as well that comes in the law of Moses, but look at God's, say with me, God's cry. What is God's cry through the prophets? And now remember that this word is being given to the children of Israel. Not the Gentiles as such, not the ones that are worshiping other gods. They're the very ones who God's called his people. They're the very people God redeemed out of Egypt. And it's these very people that he calls, that's the congregation of the Lord. And he's speaking to these nation now, Israel, the house of Israel and the house of Judah. And look at what it says in Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 6 to 7. It says this, "The Lord said also to me in the days of Josiah the king, have you seen what backsliding Israel has done? She has gone up on every high mountain and under every green tree, and there played the harlot. And I said, after she had done all these things, say it with me, return to me. But she did not return, and her treacherous sister Judah saw it." So what is the cry there? Return to me. What kind of backsliding had Israel done? Okay, we'll talk a bit about that. Obviously, you can see harlotry, idolatry in a nutshell. In Zechariah chapter 1, verse 3 to 4, it says this, "Therefore say to them, thus says the Lord of hosts, return, thank you, but we can all have it all together. Return. Says the Lord of hosts, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. Do not be like your fathers, to whom the former prophets preached, saying," former prophets preached, saying, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, turn now from your evil ways and your evil deeds. But they did not hear nor heed me, says the Lord of hosts." The heartbeat there again. God is crying out through the prophets, return to me. Joel chapter 2, verse 12 to 13. It says, "Now therefore says the Lord, turn to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, with mourning. So rend your heart and not your garment. Turn to me, Lord, your God. For he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and great kindness, and of great kindness, and relents from doing harm. And pay attention, even though I'm not going to focus on that, but think of that. Rend your heart and not your garments. It's an interesting thought why he says that. Why? Because when they would rend their garments in the Old Testament, it was they would usually rend their garments, tear their garments and wear sackcloth and put ashes on their head. And that was an expression of, you know, them bringing themselves into a place of humility, and it was repenting to what before God. And so he says, I don't want just to see the outside of it. I want you to rend your heart. But the key word here, the heartbeat one more time, is return to the Lord your God. Now, let me now just briefly say, what is it that that God was saying, return to me? Where had they gone to? Where did they go? What was it that caused them to stray? Now, I know we can name many things. You can read the book of Hosea. You can read the book of Jeremiah. You know, they were going after other gods. They were committing harlotry by worshiping other gods. And one of the things that, one of the biggest things in that is the sense that could maybe encapsulate all of that is the word idolatry. Idolatry. So return to me. So now I want to go to, so here's the heartbeat. You'll get the heartbeat, return to me. Now, what does it say, return to me? Does it say return to Jerusalem? No. But there are verses that talks about returning to Jerusalem. But in this case, what is God saying? Does it say return to the temple? No. He says return to me. All right, I want to make that very clear. And if you're starting to get what I'm saying now, you're kind of getting what I'm trying to get at. And so, point number two, okay? There's a return to God, but we have to turn from idolatry. So we're returning from idolatry to the Lord. Now, think about this. In recent years, we have been proclaiming prophetic words like great restoration. Who remember that? There's a great contrast. I don't expect you to remember it, but since I'm the preacher, I remember it. Okay, there's a great contrast. Is that right? There's a great restoration. There's a great mountain and there's a greater glory. And we talked a little bit about great restoration. What is God restoring? Jesus will not return until all that he has spoken through the prophets are restored, right? He must remain in heaven until all that he has spoken through all the prophets are restored. So when you think about that prophetic word, you say, wow, there are many things that God is restoring: the church, holiness, righteousness, the gift of the Spirit, the manifestation. You can think of what you think, even what you and I think, according to the scriptures, or what we need to see restored: the greater glory, the presence, harvest of souls. Can you agree with that? The Lordship of Christ and all that, the powerful church, the bride of Christ. I mean, you think about all the aspects of restoration that needs to take place. But the thing is, what we have to be careful is, while all of these things need to be restored, we can shift from an emphasis on what needs to be restored to the one who restores. For example, we are currently, as the prophetic word for 2020 and beyond, in fact, 2021, 2022 and beyond, is greater maturity and increased fruitfulness. Have you heard of that? Are you familiar with that? Greater maturity and increased fruitfulness. And so while it's biblical to go into maturity, it is biblical to be fruitful, right? And we should all desire to grow. There's nothing wrong with that. But what can happen is when we start to emphasize on maturity rather than God, you can see why the focus shifts. When we start to focus on fruitfulness and shift our eyes, so in a way we are focusing on results rather than who God is, that has already taken the place of God. I want to read a scripture here. In Amos chapter 5, verse 46, it says this: For thus says the Lord to the house of Israel. Every time it's purple, you got to read it with me. All right. I think you figured it by now, right? Okay. 1, 2, 3. Seek me and live. Okay, stop there. Seek me and live. This is the heartbeat of Christ. Return to me. I want you to seek me and live. But look at what it says. Do not seek. Okay, every green one, you got to read it with me. Okay, do not seek. Do not seek or nor enter. Nor pass over. For Gilgal shall surely go into captivity and Bethel shall come to nothing. Seek the Lord and live. And that's the reason why at the start I said, does God say go to the temple, go to Jerusalem, go to this and go and do that? No, he says, return to me. So the emphasis is returning to the Lord, not returning to an external form or even a place. Now, why does it say don't seek Bethel, don't seek Gilgal, don't seek Beersheba? Each of these places are significant places in the Bible. Okay, I'll just give you one example, and the easiest one that all of us can at least understand right off is Bethel. What does Bethel mean? It's not the one in California I'm talking about. Okay, Bethel, it means the house of God, Bethel. And what happened at Bethel? Well, Abraham raised an altar there. Okay, then Jacob went to sleep there, and then he said, "This is the house of God, the gateway of heaven." He fell asleep and he realized he had God encounter. It was a place of God encounter, a place of worship, and it was a place of God encounter. So Bethel was a significant place in Scripture. It became a place of encounter, but that place of encounter now, God says, is going to come to nothing. Now, we think that sometimes, okay, if I got to return to God, I need to go to Bethel. I need to go to Gilgal. These are significant places. You got to read Samuel and even other books of the Bible. Beersheba, the well, wow, God, water, and all of that. And so these are significant places. And God is saying, don't seek those places. You had past experiences. They were great things. They were places of encounter. And so rather than seeking Him and live, we're seeking for the experience. We're seeking for some kind of encounter or result rather than fixing our eyes on Him, because He says, return to me. Not Bethel, not Gilgal, not Beersheba. Okay? But return to me. Is that clear so far? And so I believe this morning what the Lord is really impressing in my heart and for this season, and for all of us as we talk as the great this and great that and restoration, the focus must not be on results. We want results. There will be results. But the emphasis has to be shifted back to return to the Lord. Let me make that a little bit more clearer now as we proceed on to the next verses. Now, let's look at Psalms chapter 1 and verse. I'm just going to read a few verses. Now, as we read those verses, my question is this. Do we all want this? Okay, let's read it. He shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Okay, for people who really want that verse, you don't really sound like you want it. Okay, shall we read it again? Okay, verse 3, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruits in its seasons, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Okay, who wants to bear fruit? All right, who wants to prosper in whatever thing you want to do? Okay, wow, I can be accused of preaching prosperity message here already. Okay, all right, chapter 1, verse 8. Let's read it together. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Who wants to be prosperous? Amen. Who wants to have good success? Amen. Everybody is going to say that. All right? This family here, they don't have good success. They live in success. Okay. All right. Okay. Amen. All right. Okay. All right. Exodus chapter 15, verse 26. Do we want this? 1, 2, 3. For I am the Lord who heals you. We want healing, don't we? Amen. Amen. Now, all of these things are promises of God. And of course, we qualify, what does it mean to be prosperous? Prosperous is not just about our finances, but God wants us to prosper in our spirit, soul, and body. Now, we've read all these promises, and while they're all good, okay, what we don't realize is we have to see verses that come before that in context. And so what the problem of what we can do is, while as even as a church, we say, you know, we got to know the promises of God and pray the promises of God back to Him. Is that right? We've heard messages like this in the past. And there's nothing wrong with that. And I'm not suggesting that it is wrong. But what I am suggesting is that when the promises and the results have taken over God's place, so that means we are seeking fruitfulness, we are seeking prosperity, we're seeking success over the one who gives us all things. I think that's where it becomes idolatry, and it's a very subtle one for us here in the Western world. Okay, we don't think that we have idolatry, but what I am suggesting is that these idolatry creep into our lives unnoticed. They creep in a little bit here and there. We don't realize that we are seeking for, wow. I mean, you think about, you know, noble things, like you want to do, you see the work of God increase. You want to see, I don't know, wonder God do wonderful things. But when the emphasis shifts on the act and the results over who He is, I think that becomes very problematic. And oftentimes, I suppose that's where we can get a little bit off focus, right? We start loving God, and then we focus on the results, and that becomes the main focus, and then the focus has been lost. But now, let me read back again one more time, Amos chapter 5, verse 46. Let's read it all again in a light of all that's been said. For thus says the Lord to the house of Israel, seek me and live, but do not seek Bethel, nor enter Gilgal, nor pass over to Beersheba. For Gilgal shall go into captivity, and Bethel shall come to nothing. Seek the Lord and live. Again, one more time, let me reiterate this. Yes, we believe in healing. We want healing. We want to be successful in what we do. We want to be able to serve God with everything we have. We want to prosper and not wither. These are all good, okay? But let's see what needs to shift first. Okay, so the third point I have here is, obviously, as you can probably imagine, is seek the Lord and live. So here's the cry. Let me review this. The cry... If you can go back one more time, one back, please. The cry of God is, return to me. No, it should go to the main points, yes. Return to me. Return to me, okay? So here's the cry of God. Come back to me, not to something else that's I do or I can do. Return to me. Number two, the issue of idolatry, how subtle it can creep in. While looking at what God's can bless us with, when we focus on the blessing and the results, it has already turned into idolatry. And the last point here, I'm bringing you all of us here and to bring it home, is we are to primarily seek the Lord, and there we live. Now, let's look at all these passages that we were all reading with passion, because these were great promises that God gives us. We talked about we shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, and everything that we do shall prosper. Now, let's look at the verses from 1 to 3 and see a few things here. Are you ready? All right, let's go to Psalms chapter 1. It says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Then comes the promise, okay? So the requirement or the condition, let me put it this way, the condition, there is a condition for every promise of God, okay? So sometimes we think God is good and he just promises us, but to every promise there is a condition. What is the condition to enter into the new covenant? Now, God establishes the covenant irregardless of whatever we do, whether we are prayed enough, whether we're good enough, whether we deserve it. That's irrelevant, irrespective of what we do. God is faithful. He establishes the covenant. It has nothing to do on our behalf. But to enter into the blessings of the new covenant, what must we do? Repent from sin and put our faith. So faith is a requirement to enter into what God established through Christ for His people. So there is a condition when you think about it. So here we talk about what is the condition to be like a tree and to be successful in it. It is what? To delight in the law of the Lord. Now, I've put it in yellow. We're going to focus a little bit on the yellow now. Law of the Lord. And in His law, He meditates day and night. So when you think about the law, what are we talking about here? Scriptures is referring to the scriptures, the law of Moses, right? But we'll get to that there in a moment. But take note of this. Say delight. There must be a delight in the law. I'll get back to that. Or maybe I should... Okay, no, I'll get back to that. Joshua chapter 1, verse 7 to 8. Same idea here. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. That's the part we like, right? Want to prosper. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. In what? In the law of Moses. For now, then, so there is a prerequisite. When you do that, then, everybody say then. Then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. So what's the emphasis again? One more time, the law of Moses, the law of God, the law that God gave to Moses, the book of the law. Oh no, what am I preaching? Are we returning back to the law? I thought the Bible says I'm not under law, I'm under grace. Bear with me for a little bit longer, okay? Exodus chapter 15, verse 26. There's a beautiful song on that verse. And what's the song like? Maybe you should help me sing the song. Since we're, yeah? So what does this song goes like? I am the Lord that healeth thee. I am the Lord, your healer. You sent your word and heal all disease. I am the Lord, your healer. Now, I'm not discrediting the song, but the song is really only quoting, and there's nothing wrong with the song. Keep singing it, all right? All I'm trying to make a point is the song is only taking the last line of the whole verse. It's a song, and the song has a point, okay? But what I'm trying to say is that sometimes we know the song and the verse only by what we sing, which is only that one bit here, and not the whole verse. So what does the whole verse say? Let's read it. And said, if you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in His sight, give ear to His commandment and keep all His statutes, I will put none of the diseases on which I have brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. So do you think there's a condition there for the healing? He says, if you would diligently heed the voice of the Lord, do what is right, give ear to His commandment. So when you read that verse, when we read that verse, what's the emphasis again? The commandment, the statutes, the law, all of these words, okay? So Psalms chapter 1, meditate, delight in the law of God, in the law, meditate day and night. Joshua chapter 1 talks about, okay, you gotta observe to do according to all to it. You must not turn to the right or to the left. The law of this book shall not depart from your mouth. And when you do all these things and meditate, then you'll have good success and then you'll be prosperous. And here once again in Exodus 15, it talks about take heed to the voice, give ears to His commandment and observe and keep all of His statutes, for then I will not put all the diseases like I did on Egypt, but I am the Lord that heals you. Now, all of these verses have in common a couple of things. First, there's a condition as such attached to the promise. In other words, there's something before the promise. The second common thing they have in common is it all relates to the law of God. My question here is this morning for all of us, and all of us have different needs, different desires, be it good or evil or neutral. We all have things we are praying for, hoping for, expecting. But in the midst of that, I want to ask that, has our focus been shifted to what we want or need? Or is it actually focused on the one? So for example, we want healing, all right? Is our focus on the healing or is our focus on the healer? Well, that's the right answer, okay? That's the part where you do, Lord, what's the song? Search me, O Lord. Okay, that's the part you're supposed to do that, okay? All right. But, you know, and oftentimes we want the blessings. And are we so engrossed and focused on the blessing that we're not setting our eyes on the blesser? And I'm asking us to just, you know, allow the Holy Spirit to see in what way could we be doing that. If you're not doing that this morning, praise God, okay? And we've got to continue and fix our eyes on Jesus. But I believe that in all that I'm saying, there is, for the believer and for the church, an emphasis to go back to the Lord and to be Christ-centered. It is essential for us. Otherwise, we start to focus on the other things, the little streams that comes out, and we get stuck there and it actually leads us away. We are wanting all the good things in life, even the things that God promises us, but have our eyes been fixed on the wrong thing? And I believe the word for us is return to the Lord. Return to me is what God says. Hosea chapter 6 verse 1 to 3 says this, "Come, let us return to the Lord. For He has torn, but He will heal us. He has stricken, but He will bind us up. After 2 days, He will revive us, and on the third day, He will raise us up, that we may live in His sight. Let us know, let us pursue the knowledge of the Lord. His going forth is established as the morning. He will come to us like rain, and like the latter rain and former rain to the earth." You see that? Once again, you think about, wow, the latter rain and the early rain. Should we not pray this for the church? Should we not want desire that? Early rain, latter rain. Hallelujah. I know we just had a testimony that we wanted to push away the rain, but we also want the early and the latter rain. Is that right? Okay. And these are great promises, but look again, one more time. He says, let us know, let us pursue the knowledge of the Lord. All right. That's the thing that I believe he says, come return to the Lord. Let us pursue the knowledge of the Lord. But oftentimes, the Lord Himself promises the early and the latter rain. But instead of turning to the Lord who gives us the early and the latter rain, we're looking for latter rain, early rain. And so the focus becomes on rain rather than on God. That's the whole point. And if I'm repeating myself like a parrot, please excuse me. But here's my conclusion. Last slide, last verse. There's such a focus on keep the law, meditate on the law. Jesus Himself said this in Luke 24, in verse 27. He said that, and beginning at Moses, which refers to the law of Moses, and all the prophets, He expounded to them in all the scripture the things concerning Himself. And you notice it's red here, speaking of Jesus. And then in verse 44, again He says, "Then He said to them, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms concerning me," that is, Jesus. So, in other words, the law, the law of Moses and the prophets, or you may say the scriptures as a whole, reveals Jesus. It reveals God. So the law is really a revelation of who God is. And notice how it says in Psalms 1, delight, his delight is in the law of the Lord. Because the law of the Lord brings me to God. Okay? And it says, and he meditates upon it day and night. I believe when it says delight in the law of the Lord, I think the way we can do it wrongly is that we delight in if you're someone who loves reading literature, you can delight in just reading the Bible in and out, the words, scripture, right? But I believe that more than just Bible, which is essential, I'm not even trying to make it any unimportant in whatsoever way. But what I'm saying is, look at the Pharisees, for example, right? They seriously studied the law. Well, I mean, as far as knowledge is concerned, as far as memorizing is concerned, but they kind of missed the heartbeat because you see the law, and they probably did their they probably some of them I'm sure did it in the from the depths of what they understood and whether they were sincere in that. But I'm just saying that there's a caution for us that it's not about like, I have read the word and I have known the word, because if that becomes the focus, we have still missed it out. If you can say that, oh, well, I know the scriptures very well and I know the Bible and I can quote the promises. If that has become the focus rather than the scriptures bringing us to Christ, it's off already, if you can understand what I'm saying. I'm just saying that we can misuse what is actually appropriate for us to use. But it says, delight in the law of the Lord. And the more you think about delighting in His law, it is delighting in the revelation of who God is, because the law speaks of Him. So my emphasis is the law. It says, obey my law, obey me, keep my commandments, because it is who He is. The law shows us that it's impossible for us to fulfill it. That we all agree. And we need God's grace to live it. But the revelation of the law is the lawgiver. So that our eyes... So the law now brings us to the lawgiver so we can gaze upon Him. And you say amen? So where is our focus this morning? Are we so focused on the promises of God that we've lost sight of God? And that's the question we got to all ask ourselves. We want the church to be restored, but we also have to be careful that we're not just focusing on the results, but we got to seek Him first. And results, I believe, will come. So are you with me this morning that we are to seek Him? What is it that, if you think about it for now, what I know what I want, I know what I'm hoping for, but have I lost sight of God in the midst of all of that? And I must say this even for leaders of churches and all of that. You know, we want to minister, we want to help people. But if that has become the focus and you lose sight of Christ, isn't there a problem there? Yeah, you can see what I'm saying. So we can easily hide behind the service that we do, which says, well, that's godly. That must mean He loves God. That must mean He's putting God first. But actually, what has captivated my heart is, I love to teach. I love to be in the spotlight. I like to be heard. I like people to hear my thoughts. I like people to hear how insightful I might have in scriptures. I want, you know, people to whatever, right? So that's where we have to see really honestly where we are. And that's the reason when it says, rend your hearts, not your garments, but rend your heart. So the last thing that I want to say here, okay, is when we read the scriptures, try to make it as much as you can. As you're reading the Psalms, and maybe perhaps I'll just bring me back. You can just do whatever you want now. Just bring it back to Psalms 1, 3. Don't worry about the animations and all that, okay? You can do as you wish. Go, bring me back to Psalms 1 really quick. I just want to bring you just something here that we can do as a practically together. when we look at Psalms chapter 1, we can easily read that Psalms. But I would say when we read the scriptures, try as much to see how is God revealed, is God revealing himself? And that becomes a focal point because that means now I'm looking to see who he is. And that's the reason why in the testimonies in the share, I purposefully ask, okay, who is God? What is God revealed in this testimony? And what is God? It is kind of mentioned in the testimony already, but I want to bring it to an emphasis because we can all enjoy the testimonies, but if the testimonies of the results of what God has done, the acts of that becomes the emphasis rather than the God himself, I think that's where it's the focus that I want to bring us back to this morning. Amen. It's interesting that in the book of Psalms, it says that the Israelites knew the acts of God, but Moses knew the ways of God. And I think it's a profound statement. We can know about his acts, but do we know his ways? That's what I want to bring us to this morning. So when I look at Psalms chapter 1 and verse 1 to 3, let's take that very first verse here. What does it say? What does it say? Blessed is the man. Now you think blessed is the man. Isn't that talking about me? Oh, praise the Lord. Blessed is the man. Well, provided we walk in it, but you think about it, it's talking about the emphasis is who? The man, isn't it? But where's the fourth man in that verse? If you can understand what I'm trying to say here. Remember, the fourth man is the one who is there in the fire. Okay, he's there. He's always there, but we don't know he's there. Okay, where is God in that verse? Blessed is the man, the blesser. You understand? You see what I'm saying? So instead of just seeing, oh, it's just me in that verse, blessed is the person, blessed is me if I walk in this, the man that is blessed, you can see that in that verse, it reveals the one who blesses, and God is the blesser. Who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Well, that sounds like a wicked verse, doesn't it? Oh, you know, the wicked one, the counsel of the ungodly. But there is the counsel of God, isn't it? So the opposite of that obviously reveals to me that, hey, I'm not to walk in the counsel of the ungodly. The scriptures talks about their safety in the counsel of the multitude of counselors. But then the Isaiah also talks about the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and spirit of might. And so you think about this, you say, wow, there is yes, I'm not to walk according to the counsel of the ungodly, but I'm to walk by the counsel of the Holy Spirit. And I think we could go on and go on and go on with this verse, but I just wanted to just bring it out like this so that it helps us to see God in the scriptures rather than just seeing, oh, it's about me, it's about the wicked, and it is times, okay, I'm not saying it's not, but bring our attention back to the Lord. Finally, let me say this. Finally, brethren, let me say this, okay? Having done all to stand. Okay, I'm kidding. Okay, well, why don't we actually stand, shall we? Now, we're all called to meditate upon His Word day and night. You agree with that? But some of us might find it easier and some of us might find it hard. Some might find it okay. But it's for all of us to do, not just for the leaders, not just for some, not just for those who are serving, but we're all called to meditate on His law day and night. But once again, I'll bring you to the line that comes before that. He says, His delight is in the law. I think it's quite hard to meditate unless we find a delight in the law. I believe that meditation will come out of our delight. So my prayer this morning that we will find delight in Him. When I find delight in Him, His law reveals Him. While you remain standing, I'm just going to verbalize Psalms 19. I think it's from verse 6 or 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. What else? The commandments of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. And the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter than honey, and sweeter also than the honeycomb. Lord, let there be a shift in our minds this morning. Please forgive us for having looked at the blessings, the results, the things that we can get from you, even though you bless it with such things, even though you want it for us, and even though you have prepared them even before the foundation of the earth, where you have blessed us with every spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. We thank you that those blessings and the promises belong to us. Lord, help us this morning to never lose sight of the one who gives the promiser. That means the promise giver. Lord, may we ever lose sight of not just the blessings of the covenant, but the covenant maker. Lord, may us never lose sight of you as the one who is the blesser, the possessor of heaven and earth. Hallelujah. Lord, let our attention be brought back to you, Lord. Forgive us for idolatry. Forgive us for wanting things and desiring the results and having our eyes so fixated on those things rather than turning to you and to look to you who are able to do exceedingly above all that we can think or even ask. Amen? Amen. There's a thought here this morning, and I'm speaking to myself as well, is you and I can easily have ideas of what we want, like God to do. Is that right? We know what we want, and so we put it on our shopping list, shopping cart. But here's that verse that says, God can do exceedingly above all that we can think or ask. Do you think that in our shopping list we limit God? I think so. And God says, I can do more exceedingly above all that we can think or even ask. So if I am so set on what I want, do you see where my focus gets? So limited that I limit God from doing what He even wants to do. So may God be all in all. May God be the primary focus. It is so important for us to focus on the Lord right now because, you know, when we do something wrong, we feel shameful. And the last, probably the, unless, if you do it, great. But sometimes we tend to run away from God rather than run to God. Look at Adam and Eve. With all the things that are happening around the world, you hear the news and you hear what's happening and you hear about Ukraine and you hear about Russia and you hear about, I don't know, what's happening with Joe Biden and his son and his laptop and in this and then in that, floods in the eastern states and what else do you want to talk about? You know, there's just so much going on. And quite easily, we can start fixing our eyes on these things. Talk about Hillary Clinton, okay, being sued, this and that. Where are we fixing our eyes? Lord, help us. Lord, you are the author and the finisher of our faith. We turn our eyes to you this morning. May we as your church return to you with all of our hearts. To rend our hearts open to you, Lord, not just the garments, but the depths of our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's conclude this morning by singing a song together.